Good morning. Who's suicidal today?
Must be us.
Who is suicidal? Did you wake up to snow?
Yes.
Well, we were going to be here earlier, Joey, but we had to scrape an inch of ice off the car. Scrape. This is not just with the windshield wipers, which are now broken.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Because you hit them.
Yeah, I was pissed.
April 16th.
Yeah.
I know.
A half an inch of crusty,
ice.
Nasty
ice.
Freezing temperatures.
Yeah.
This is a test of wills. This is a test of wills.
But last night at what, 11? It was 50 degrees.
50 degrees. I didn't cover the peas because I thought, 50 degrees.
I had the window open last night. Woke up with the window open because I kind of, you know, I like the kind of sound of the rain and stuff like that. Had the window open.
You like the sound of sleep too?
I don't like the premise of sleep. I love a thunderstorm. I love having the windows open during.
Oh, it lightened last night.
4:30. Believe me, I was up showering for work, and I heard the thunder, and it was just. I heard the thunder. I'd closed the window, but I hadn't looked outside at this point. When I went to put my work boots on, and I looked out the window, and I saw that much snow on the car, I said, "This is just mean."
It is.
Yeah.
I've been talking about this every podcast. Like March and April are the meanest months because, but it seems like, I've talked about this again, that there is no spring and there's no fall.
Right.
We've been having incredibly gorgeous summers all the way through, and they go to November, and then boom, winter hits in, and it's just full-on winter, no fall, and then we all the way through to like end of May, and then you have summer again, starts like flipping a switch.
Right.
Yeah.
No fall, no spring.
It's like when I lived in upstate New York, and they used to say we have three seasons, July, August, and winter.
There you go.
See, it's almost like that here.
How long did you live there?
Oh, too long.
Yeah. Misery up there.
That's awful.
Misery.
That's why they come here, you know, to vacation.
Well, speaking of the weather, we were talking about show notes, what we were going to talk about today. Yesterday, you sent me an email, and then you sent me a follow-up email and said, by the way, what a great pickup Pete Lovasco was with the weather.
Fantastic. I love it.
I hear from a lot of people that love his forecasts.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I get stopped on the, you know, I get stopped frequently walking down Main Street. A lot of people say they love Pete's stuff. Pete's into it.
Well, that's why we like it. First, you know, I thought, I was kind of skeptical. Weather, really, on the blog. I mean, do we?
You know, you can get it a million.
You get it
in
a million places. You get it on your phone.
Yeah.
I thought, why do I need to read this on GMG? And we don't check the phone anymore. We just don't. No, we just because.
No, but he's doing Cape and weather.
Specific.
Gloucester.
Yeah, you know, it's our weather.
Wait, did he predict
so
this ice
different.
On my car? Though I don't think so.
I don't know.
No.
But you're right though, Vicky. In the weather on Cape, like a Boston meteorologist has to broadcast an average,
basically
from the South Shore to the North Shore, whereas we're out on an island, and literally Boston's temperature could be 15 degrees warmer than our temperature,
or be susceptible
to different type of things.
Plus, I love the cartoons.
Do you love the? Yeah. I think you can do with one a day instead of three frames a day.
Oh, what does it take? It takes a half a millisecond to scroll down and a little tiny bit of work on your finger.
I understand. But
is your finger tired from scrolling?
No, it has nothing to do with the scrolling. As I reach for my coffee this morning, but it has. It's kind of like. I like the cartoons.
Yeah.
But I think that the kind.
Does he draw those cartoons himself?
No, there's a. Oh, I forget what the name of the app is, but there's an app.
There's an app for that.
It's only Apple. I could do it. It's called BitStrips is the app.
Ah.
Anybody can do it. But it's amazing to me.
That sounds like a bad name.
BitStrips?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, don't say that too fast.
Okay, let's not take this.
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, don't.
BitStrips.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, well, you know, the caricature is like dead on with him.
Absolutely.
Like bald with a goatee and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And is it glasses? I don't know if it's glasses.
I don't know.
But whatever it is, but like it's dead on for him. Like ridiculous. Yeah, Pete's doing a good job. Big news yesterday was this Kevin Edson. Do you know who that is? Does that name ring a bell to you? You didn't listen to the news yesterday then because it was all over the news.
No.
No, we only listened to Donna and the blog.
Donna and the blog. Donna.
Donna, you know, I know if there's anything really
she'll
happening
you
in the
right.
world, she'll call and tell me.
If it's really that important. We were busy yesterday trying to
Well, yeah. Yesterday there was a gentleman, a 25-year-old Wakefield man, his name is Kevin Edson, walking down Boylston Street barefoot with a backpack, acting suspiciously, shouting "Boston Strong." When the police asked what was in his backpack, he replied, "A rice cooker."
A rice cooker.
So it was like a shitstorm of, you know, right. Boylston Street is right where the finish line is and stuff like that. And as it turns out, it was filled with confetti.
It was a rice cooker.
But it was a rice cooker, which I think these were. I don't know if it was pressure cooker. Is a pressure cooker and a rice cooker the same thing?
I don't know. It's just a little thing that double boils rice. Right? But
whatever it was, his intention was it was a hoax.
Yeah.
So he's being charged with possession of a hoax device, disturbing the peace, and disorderly conduct. And it took over. I mean, they shut down streets. The whole thing was.
I guess we should have listened to the news.
It turned into a shit show, a media circus, and everything else. And now the court. Now he has to be tried.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how much money is this going to cost us for this friggin' jerk? And some people. And so I was talking to someone this morning, and she said, "You know, I'm not surprised." That I'm like, "Yeah, I guess." Out of all the, if you just took the residents of Boston proper, right, there's gonna be a couple really off people that are gonna you can't count on everybody to be normal. Like there's people that are idiots that are gonna do stupid things.
Of course,
but I mean it's gonna cost us a fortune though, right? To prosecute this guy and all this other crap. And do you see what is his? I mean disorderly conduct. I don't know. It was a rice cooker with confetti. So the confetti is not going to hurt someone, presumably.
Right.
No.
But I'm sure he's going to go the mental. You know, that it's.
He's probably going to go. They're going to do something with this idiot. But, I mean, is this something that, like, the ACLU gets involved with and, like, tries to defend this guy?
Oh, God. Who knows?
You know?
Well. But I think your point about the money is the issue.
Yeah.
Is it really worth spending money to punish this guy for what? For being an idiot? You think he's going to stop being an idiot?
Well, but then you're going to have, like, so if you don't punish this guy and make an example of him, then you have a bunch of other people disturbing and having, because the police have to take act. You can't just let people, you know, because of what happened last year, that now they're forced to, like, check people and stuff right? So, so anytime someone wants to disturb something going on, they just do something stupid like this, and then
but the prosecution and all that is going to get him what he wants.
What, the attention you mean?
Yeah.
Attention?
What do you think? Would you take a rice cooker with confetti
barefoot
and look suspicious if you didn't want attention?
No, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. That's I feel like it's kind of like we have a no win situation here,
I don't have an answer.
It's just an indictment of the times. This is the world we live in now.
Yeah.
Right. It's sad. I don't know. But there's a controversy in Gloucester. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. Actually, I shouldn't say controversy in Gloucester. There's controversy on Good Morning Gloucester, and it's honestly a annual rite of passage that early spring or mid spring, the beaches. I don't think that the beach, it isn't opened yet officially, and I don't think they have the crews combing the beach until, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that they don't come and comb the beach until the lifeguards get there or something, right? Maybe a week before they go in and they do a big cleanup. But
it's like May something.
Yeah, but everybody, you know, people send in pictures of trash on the beach and stuff like that, and everybody loses their stuff. And it goes, and the annual debate is carry in, carry out working? Is carry in, carry out not working? And I don't have the answer, because I remember back in the day when there was barrels that there was trash all over the place, and I know why don't you guys take up?
Well, okay, first of all, we did an experiment. I like experiments. We do a lot of experiments. We do testing. We develop software. The experiment proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you don't want trash on the beach, you have to have barrels, period. It's clear. Carry out doesn't work.
in the past, they had the barrels that didn't have the tops on it. So,
so you have barrels with no tops, and then you don't empty them. Well, yeah, you're going to have trash on the beach, too. So if you complain that the barrels overflowed, and that's why we should have carry and carry out, you're missing the other part of the barrel scenario, which is
proper,
you got to empty them.
Proper disposal of them.
Right. Now, we got guys on the beach who don't really have much to do after the parking lot closes, which is usually about 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? Because by 9 o'clock, they're full on Good Harbor Beach.
Okay.
Right. So what do they do all day? It could be emptying trash. Right? That's not so hard. DPW could pick up the trash, you know, a couple times a day, and you could fund all this with littering fines.
Right.
That's what I think.
It's very, see, the littering fine thing comes exactly into full circle with the other big thing that everybody's freaking out about, the dog thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, I see that the city's being put into a corner on this one, saying that the reason that the dog should be allowed off-leash is because if there are bad dog owners, and there are bad dog owners that that can't control their dogs, then there should be, the animal patrol guy should be there the whole time.
Yeah, but we don't have an animal patrol.
We do have it.
We do.
He doesn't have time. In today's paper,
yeah.
Lenny, our great police chief, who does great Springsteen.
I heard he's unbelievable.
Well, he's going to be at Giuseppe's this week.
I think.
Yeah. It's tonight.
Is it tonight?
It's tonight for the typical
Special Olympics.
Yep.
So anyway, he points out that the guy can only react to complaints. That's all the time we've got for this guy.
Well, that's the I'm trying to make. It's like they're putting the city into a corner. They're trying to the pro dog off leash people are saying we should be able to have it. But there should be the cop there all the time to make the bad dog owners accountable and write them tickets, so that would pay for his service.
But they want to have dogs off leash in September now. Now I like to go. September is a great surfing month.
Yep.
Right. You know. Right. The waves are good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. You get the big storms.
So I go surfing with my son in September, and I come out of the water, and dogs have peed on my towel, my shirt. It's cold. So you really need that warm, dry towel and shirt. And when it's got dog pee on it, that's pretty gross. And that's probably not any kind of offense that you could get a ticket for.
Right.
Because it's not poop.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick it up. Well, what's to pick up? My shirt?
Right.
So I would say, look, let them go on the beach, but let's do it reasonably. Like winter, December, January, February, March.
Yeah.
We surf in all the way to November.
But don't they already let them go on the beach in those months?
Yeah, but they're supposed to be on a leash.
They're supposed to be on a leash, but let them go.
On a leash, they're not
going to
pee on my surfboard.
Oh, so where? So what months do you say are acceptable for them to be on?
For me,
beach?
December, January, February, March, off leash. Okay. Fine. Why? That's not a problem. Except you do have to watch out for toddlers with food in their hands.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. They attract dogs, and the dogs jump on them, and
the dog thinks
the toddler is giving
them
food. Right. We have a dog park too. City gave them land.
I know.
We have a problem with the dog park, that we can't go to the dog park.
They want this other thing too. I mean, this is basically what it comes down to. They want
I feel you have to understand.
I think the dog owners don't see they think that it's wonderful if a dog comes and they jump on you and they lick you and they pee on your stuff.
Because
they think
it's cute.
Because they're dog lovers.
Wait,
I understand.
We're dog lovers.
From my perspective, and you're a dog lover.
I am not
a dog lover. And like when I've said this before, when a dog comes up to me, I think it's gonna attack me. Like I can't be comfortable on a, and I've spoken to enough dog lovers that bring their dogs to Good Harbor Beach. Actually Ryan Pinkham two podcasts ago said I bring my dog to Good Harbor Beach and it's a shit show. He goes, I am in favor of the dogs being off leash, but I am admitting, well, like we would. Anyone that says it's not a shit show
is lying. Exactly.
And this is a dog lover.
And you guys just said you're a dog lover.
We're
dog lovers. We never took our dog to Good Harbor, but we live near Magnolia Beach, and we would take him down to the public area of Magnolia Beach.
Off leash?
Yeah.
Okay.
But when it was allowed. You're not supposed to ever have it off leash.
And
you know what the funny thing is? Until all of this started, I didn't know.
Well, that's
I didn't even know.
That's
I know ignorance of the law is no excuse, but and guess what else they have?
Well, that's what they're saying.
They have trash cans.
Right. But that's what they're saying. What they're saying is like some of these dog people, that like saying, will you all just shut the F up? Because no one was complaining about it until you guys are making it into an issue.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? No one's even talking about it. But like that now they're like forcing the city to take a position.
Right.
Right.
Which may actually go against them.
Well, probably. Well, now today in the paper they mentioned the shellfish constable.
Constable.
That's a cool. Are we in England? Shellfish constable.
He's the guy that comes around when you're digging for clams.
Digging clams and make sure
and
you
make
have
sure
a permit.
Permit.
Right. This is the same guy.
Know,
right?
Yeah.
So he says that dog poop.
All of Cape Ann.
Right, but he says that dog poop.
All of Cape
could
Ann.
Could close the clam flats.
Yes.
And if that happens, it would be years before it's reversed. Now, I expect.
Yeah, but they're not
if
digging
he's got
clams.
The title,
they're,
shellfish,
not dog, they're not digging clams on Good Harbor.
But winger sheep.
Well, how close it, currents? You know, do we know? I mean, I don't know enough about the ocean and currents to know whether that's a problem.
Now, I don't want to mention any names, but there's a guy over in Magnolia that says that the reason beaches get closed is because of dog shit in the summer.
I don't know.
I mean, I just don't know.
See, that's the problem. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I just think that like the city's being put in both of these things. They're kind of forcing, and I don't know where
Maybe we should ask Noah. For some science on this,
yeah, that could be. Well, they do the testing, so they will shut the thing down if there's.
Right.
Has Good Harbor Beach been shut down for E. coli in the past year or so? 2 years.
I don't
remember.
Maybe once. Usually they find it in the river there.
After big time rains, Felicia's here. You can talk, Felicia.
For some reason, a few years back, didn't all our beaches get closed for like a day or so?
Yeah.
Well, was that those little round cylinders, though?
Yeah, that was.
That was
in Dublin. I don't know what the reason was, but there was.
Right.
I think
Manchester gets shut down a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do they have less? Do they have more septic systems and less and no sewer over there?
I don't know.
Because I think that's a lot.
That could be it.
But the state has mandated that. Yeah. That was what happened with West Gloucester. Like they, back then, they had the opportunity to have the state fund. The pipe, you know, the sewer going through, and all the anti-development people said, "Wow, if we put the sewer up there, there's all this land that's going to be able to be developed."
Right,
right.
So they tried to.
That.
So they they said no to this money,
right.
That was going to come in, and then they all had to pay for it themselves.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and it ended up being.
But you know, before we go all out making the beaches dog friendly, don't you think we should make them people friendly first, like?
Well, here's this guy. Right. Oh, do you hear about the guy from Lanesville? What they're doing in Lanesville? They have this thing. It's called the Comprehensive Program for Responsible Dog Ownership in Lanesville.
Yeah. Now I saw a thing in the paper. I think it might have been Walter Frederick. He said,
note that the Comprehensive Program for Responsible Dog Ownership in Lanesville makes reference to dog training and mediation. A citizen for responsible dog ownership club is to be established. Yet in our ordinance, there is no reference to this nor any requirements for off-leash dogs, whether from Lanesville or any other part of the city, to be trained, tested, and or certified as controllable by voice while off-leash in the Lanesville Dog Park, in quotation marks. Another doubtful aspect of the program are the dog poop pickup days, which are to be organized, in parentheses, periodically. This is all within the Comprehensive Program for Responsible Dog Ownership in Lanesville.
Wouldn't responsible dog ownership pick up the poop?
Why haven't the proponents of this ordinance been picking up all along, Walter Frederick asks. Again, it's not addressed in the ordinance, but is left, hopefully, to a vague group of, in quotation marks, Lanesville residents who will be picking up the dog poop in some vague time frame. So, you know, again, these dog owners, they, you know, everything is great with the dogs. There's no problems with the dogs. You know, I know some people had... I know a dog owner who had the dog in their arms. And a German Shepherd attacked the dog while it was in her arms.
Yeah.
And the dog wasn't on leash. And the dog officer came to the house. And the owner says, "He's harmless. The dog is harmless." And she's "How the fuck is he? How is he harmless? My dog was in my arms and he jumped up to bite my dog."
That happened to Coconut in our own yard. We had Coconut was on leash. Now remember, Coconut doesn't go outside.
No.
Okay. So this was a rare opportunity for her to go out. We had her on my front walkway on her leash. $75, you know, Coochie Gucci, pink metallic, beautiful leash.
Yeah.
No lie. And the walkway is next to, you know, abutting our grass, and my kids were eating french fries, and one of the kids dropped a french fry. We was, you know, standing out there. And the neighbor was walking by with a German Shepherd. And the neighbor walked on our property. I didn't invite them, but again, I wasn't offended by it. I was whatever. No. Comes over, attacks Coconut so badly, like, grabs her. Now, my first reaction was to get between the dogs, which you're not supposed to do. But I was pulling the leash of the German Shepherd off of Coconut, ripped Coconut. Coconut was screaming. It was awful. The kids were crying. And the dog owner says, oh, she wasn't attacking Coconut. She wanted the french fry. I'm like, really? The french fry's on the grass over there, and we're on
delusion.
The walkway over
these people
here.
Are delusional.
I was so mad. The $75 leash was ripped to shreds. I mean, Coconut had a cut on her neck.
Oh my gosh.
I was shaking like... And I'm like, okay, here's a dog that never goes outside. Coconut, we don't let her out. She's only with us. You know, I'm on my own property, and this dog owner's telling me... I'll never forget that. Ever forget that. So now, when I do have Coconut out, on rare occasion, we'll take her for a walk in the boulevard on leash. The second I see a dog approaching, I pick Coconut up. You can ask anybody in my family. I will not let her interact, because I don't know the other dog, and everybody thinks their dog is great. You know what I mean?
Everybody's dog is the best dog
ever. And I'm not saying
your
dog isn't great, but they're animals, and we can't predict their behavior.
Exactly.
So for me, so that I can function and keep my dog safe, I pick my dog up.
Well, you know, we had a relatively big dog. We got him at the Cape Ann Animal Aid, Mutt, you know, but big enough, like 60 pounds, that we didn't take him to the beach when we knew there were going to be kids there.
Because
our dog was great, but he also liked kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, to jump on a kid and lick them is something that can
no
really...
He was a dumb dog. I mean, we loved him to death. But he thought he was a little dog.
He'd be like the big lumbering dog, like jumping all over the 20-pound kid.
Sometimes, like, I mean, Coconut's little, and we have a lot of parties at the house. And sometimes there'll be little kids that are bugging the dog.
Poking at him, pulling the hair.
You know, we keep an eye on Coconut like she's our child. You know what I mean? And I don't want her traumatized. I would never want her to harm another person, baby, or whatever. I feel like we're good dog owners. We're on top of her. And if I feel like... Yeah. There's many times I'll say to my husband or the kids, pick Coconut up. It's not because Coconut's doing something wrong. It's because
the kids
are poking at it. Yeah. And I know...
Well, it looks
how
like a stuffed toy.
Take. It's like even a human couldn't take that much.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? So
we lash out.
You know, I'm not saying I'm a perfect dog owner, but it's like I don't want something to happen to Coconut, and I don't want something to happen to a child.
Right.
Some people don't take it that step. Some people, just like with their kids, they say, oh, boys will be boys, and they roughhouse. Well, I have a boy, and he never roughhouse. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. People say, oh, a dog is a dog, and kids are kids. But when all is said and done, we have responsibility, and you got to do what you got to do.
So, anyway, there's a public hearing on April 22nd at City Hall regarding dogs on the beach.
Yep.
During the winter. I guess it's, you know, they're talking about...
There was somebody at Market Basket, Joey.
They're all over the place.
They're petitioning, right? And they said, please, you own a dog. And I was like, nah, I don't want the dogs off leash. And I have a dog. I do not want them off leash.
Yeah.
And I do not want them at the beach.
Yeah. So
on the winter days, that's great. But not when I'm there.
April 22nd, however you feel, go to the meeting at City Hall if that's the case. I don't know that if I introduced you guys at the beginning of this podcast. I don't think I did. This Peter and Vicky Van Ness are the voices on the other side of the mic right now.
I don't know if you did.
I really don't think I did. I think we just jumped right into it.
Well, the snow. It just killed us.
The snow, the snow. It was suicidal snow. But Peter and Vicky Van Ness, contributors on the blog, owners of Gimme Sound. You're doing a lot with the Larcom Theater now. And the UU Church,
and the UU
right?
Church.
What's going on?
UU Meeting House.
Okay. Explain to me what the UU Meeting House is. Where is it?
Well, it's at...
Is it in the UU Church?
Yes.
It's
okay,
because
there's
the UU
a UU Rockport, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the first Universalist church ever built in the U.S.
But it's the one on Middle Street.
Yes.
Middle and Church.
Yeah.
Huh?
Middle and Church.
That's the streets.
Middle and Church Street. That's the address.
Yeah.
That's the address. Okay. But the Meeting House, UU Meeting House, is that's down in the basement, am I thinking?
No. See, this is the thing. It really is. I'm a PK. I can say this. It's the sanctuary. That's what they call it.
Do you know what a PK is?
What?
Do you know what a PK is?
Protestant
preacher's kid.
Oh, what?
Right, preacher's kid.
Oh, okay.
PK stands for preacher's kid.
Okay.
Which
so churches are like boats.
Also.
Churches are like boats. They have different words for everything in the building, like a boat.
Okay.
You got the head, you got the stern, you got the bow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In a church, you got the sanctuary, you got the vestry, you got the narthex.
Narthex?
Narthex. You have to say it with your nose up in the air, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so this is really the sanctuary of the church, where there's pews, the altar, everything. That's where the
main part of the church. Okay, right. You're putting a fancy word on it, inside the church part.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they call it meeting house because it's universalist. Right. You know anything about universalist? It's like anything goes. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, like
let's
that.
Not get too
crazy.
One way or the other.
Do they still believe in birth control though?
I mean,
do they say no birth control?
No.
Oh, so they're somewhat rational then.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Very rational. In fact, the guy that started it.
How many people are just a friend?
The guy that started it was. He actually talked about the happification of the congregation. He wanted to make people happy.
Oh, good.
So.
I like that. So it isn't about guilt all the time.
No, right. it's the anti-guilt church.
Oh, cool.
Think about that. The anti-guilt church.
Well, they must have no problem getting members there.
I don't know about that.
No, I think all churches have problems getting members.
Yeah, but probably you know how there's a slowing growth rate or losing less as opposed to other ones?
Yes.
They probably have losing less than,
right.
than some, like one that holds on to, we don't advocate rubbers or birth control.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's a beautiful.
How do they hold on to that one? Yes. I have no idea. You know,
so it's a beautiful old building. It's got this tower that was like it's on all the charts. If you look at like a
Oh, okay. It is a beautiful. And they just a couple of years ago they just got the money to light it up, and at night it looks gorgeous,
yes.
Very photogenic.
Yes. And, well, you know what's in there.
What?
What's in the tower?
There's a bell that was built by Paul Revere.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes.
He touched it.
No, he made it.
This was, I mean, so he tell, yeah.
We
so
wore this
touch
signed
it,
yeah.
by him.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was.
Is that what he did for a living? He made bells?
He was a silversmith.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, isn't that amazing?
And, so they had a balcony. It used to seat 600 people. They would go to church all day long on Sunday, 600 people. And they would take breaks.
Yeah.
But it was church like all day.
They'd go upstairs.
And it was a big thing, yeah. So they had a balcony. They want to restore the balcony. If they restore that balcony, it could become
oh my god,
Gloucester's premier performance venue.
Yeah.
I
it's
mean,
got
the
great
acoustics,
sound.
Wait. He's talking about balcony. Where balcony? Oh, inside the church.
The
I'm thinking of the tower for some reason.
No. Well, if you want to sit in the tower,
wow,
that would be cool.
It would be other than City Hall would be awesome if they restored.
Yeah, I mean the problem with City Hall is the acoustics are terrible.
Are they terrible?
Just tons and tons of money.
Are the acoustics better in the U?
Great, they're great in the U church. Yeah.
So now you guys are.
So when they make it, when they do the meeting house, they take out all the church things.
All the religious stuff.
So it's very
gone.
They move. I mean, they are up to doing this and saying that they want this meeting house to be a community space that for meetings, for concerts, for debates, everything is their goal is to have this become kind of like the core of Gloucester, where you can meet and have discussions. You know, they already have groups that meet downstairs. They do the.
They have the farmer's market.
Yeah,
the spring
market.
And winter.
Yeah,
spring
but
and
they
farm.
Also have different organizations. They have Narcotics Anonymous meets there. They have, who's that other group that meets downstairs?
I don't know, lots of different groups.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, they're really trying to become the community house, which is kind of cool.
So it's a good thing to do because there'll be if it really is a good listening venue. There aren't a lot of listening venues in Gloucester for music and other performances.
Yeah, Shaolin Lou and Rockport.
Yeah, Shaolin Lou and Rockport, which is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, you can't get much better. But it's cool how they take out all the religious things so everybody feels comfortable.
Right.
Right. So it's, we got rock and roll in there. I mean,
So you're booking things there.
We're booking some shows in there.
How's the thing at the Larcom Theater? Why don't you explain your involvement at the Larcom Theater?
Well, at the Larcom, we've got an agreement with the owners. And the owner is David Bull, LeBron David, the magician.
Oh, he still owns it?
He still owns it.
Okay.
And a group of people. Yeah. And so we're the concert promoters, presenters, producers, basically. We're the exclusive ones there. And
have they been well-received?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, boy.
Everybody that walks in there is just shocked at...
It's an amazing,
amazing space.
Venue. It's
have you had comedians there?
There are comedians there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy that does Broadway type shows and comics.
Well,
and
cool.
So between the two of us,
so
we
the
share
space, the space is being
space.
Used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and hopefully starting, it doesn't have air conditioning, so we may do some things in the summer. But starting in October, we're hoping to have, you know, a couple shows a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a great venue, and it's a real theater. You know, it's got theater seating.
Oh,
it's got
man.
A horseshoe balcony. It's got even the best acoustics.
There's not many of those places still around.
Right. It's like what you would expect to see a play in New York City. You
well,
know,
the
Broadway.
The back row of the balcony is only 60 feet from the stage.
That's
yeah.
The back.
So there's
row
no bad. There's
no
bad.
Seat.
There's
no
bad
seats.
No. Do they have gold leaf or, at all?
They have hand painted tin.
Oh
man.
I mean,
that's
and,
the
and around the balcony. It's
yeah.
all hand painted.
Oh,
hand painted gold.
Have you ever sent a Good Morning Gloucester to a decent photographer over there to take pictures of the place? Because well, I think that would probably like excite people. Like when you
we
I know you
do
your posts on your music posts and stuff like that, and you pimp the place. But I think like some cool photographs of the space.
It came off of it. We've just been a little busy.
Well, you got to get her over.
She'll
yeah,
because she's
like,
a great photographer.
Well, she's so funny. She goes, "Well, is there any natural light coming in?" I'm like.
No,
it's
not
here.
No,
she's
no,
like,
no.
Oh yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Well, it's challenging, but she has the
she
equipment
could.
And the knowledge to make that happen. You
yeah.
know what
yeah.
I mean? And Marty Lustre would be another one that could
oh, yeah.
do good stuff with
it. It is. Yeah. It's a gorgeous place. I mean, John Butcher came in the other day because he hadn't seen the theater because he's coming.
You know what's funny about John Butcher? Like I never would have been able to place John Butcher. I just wasn't in that genre or whatever. So I was in about a month ago. I was in Market Basket in Danvers, right? And I'm walking with my two daughters. We just came out of the lacrosse store, and there's this guy that he looks nothing like, you know, the white populace. He's this big man with curly. What do you call that?
Kinky hair.
Yes.
And he was wearing like big black framed glasses and stuff like that. I'm like. Jesus, that's a he's just a different looking guy.
Yeah.
The point was he had a presence.
Yeah.
He had a presence. Like I had no idea who he was, but he made an impression in my mind. Like that's somebody.
Yeah.
Well, he
like,
looks
I,
like a
I
rock
know
star.
That's somebody. And then over the past couple of weeks, I've seen the flyers around town with him holding the guitar out,
yeah.
and he didn't have his glasses on, but
right.
like. Unmistakable, like this big
yeah.
mug and
yeah.
stuff like
yeah.
that. His face, his head is, you know, big, large man. And I'm like, oh man, that was John Butcher. He's been on the blog like half a dozen times or whatever, but like I didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
yeah.
But he was big time back in the day,
oh.
right? It was
the
80s?
Yeah, you should, in the 80s. You should see some of those videos. In fact, I think we got one up there a couple times on the blog of. You know,
he was a lot thinner back then.
Well, everybody was.
Everybody was a lot thinner. But like you know what I mean? It's
well,
like,
he had the skinny look. Back
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
He's not fat. I mean,
no,
just,
not at all.
He looks like a football player.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. He was in good shape, but he had those that sort of 80s sound. You know, there's a video of him with the girls with the heels and the legs getting out of the car, just like Sharp Dressed Man. Remember that video?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. ZZ Top.
ZZ
yeah.
Top. I think the same guy directed this video that he was in.
Oh, okay.
And it's the same style, and it's fun. He had a great line when he was on Alan Estes' show. He said, "Don't blame me for the 80s, Alan." You know,
because it was the 80s.
You know?
Hey,
I mean, yeah,
the parachute pants and
right,
the neon colors.
Oh, my God, parachute pants.
85.
I forgot about those.
But now he's doing this Jimi Hendrix. This is not a tribute. This is a combination of his own music and his own interpretations of Jimi Hendrix songs. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's also starring, we're not going to get to see this until fall or winter, but he's starring in a musical called Kiss the Sky that's going to open in Europe.
That he wrote.
Oh, wow. Is he live around here?
It's
going to be North Shore guy.
Yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he grew up in Boston.
Yeah, I see him around here, and you guys are pimping him, so I figure he must be on the North Shore now.
Yeah.
Are
you guys doing anything, or are you all done with the North Shore Music Theater? Is it just...
Okay, so is that
place still open?
It's still open.
Yeah,
they do a great thing, but for what we want to do, it's not the right venue.
Is it too big a venue?
It's not the size. It's that if you want to sell all the seats in the house,
it's in the round.
You have to rotate the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a very good
back
experience.
Back to people, yeah. No,
yeah.
And
I don't want to be back
to people. A lot of artists won't do in the round.
They won't do it.
In their writer, right away.
Yeah.
Won't do it in the round.
And you know, when you're on that stage and you have to get off, it's easy to get lost. There's no way to tell where you are.
Oh, you're disoriented.
There's a red and a green light, but if you're not...
Yeah, yeah. You know, well, you're into the performance. You're not thinking about the red and the green light. And then you're like,
hey. Yeah, poor Charles Neville got lost in the audience trying to get off that stage.
Is there a cooler guy than Charles Neville?
Oh,
no, there is no such person. He is the coolest guy.
Henri is his friend.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Henri's a pretty cool guy, too.
You're very cool.
Henri's pretty dapper. He's such a gentleman.
I think he might be my favorite entertainer in town.
He's spectacular.
Like, if you hire him for a gig, people are going to be dancing. People are going to have a good time. And it's multi-generational. Like, you know what I mean? You can please old folks or you can please young folks.
Right. Exactly.
Everybody's going to have a good time with Henri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love that he brings in seasoned players and also young players. He's really trying to...
And we're talking about 17-year-old young players. You know, he's got... Last time he was at the Larkham with us, he had a 17-year-old kid on cello and guitar playing jazz. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Along with Charles Neville, who I probably shouldn't say how old he is. You can look it up. But he's in his 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, Grammy Award winner. And Amity Castanel, another Grammy Award winner. Older guys, you know. And so Henri doesn't like to be either the youngest guy or the oldest guy on stage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Nice.
Yeah.
You guys had produced Celebrate Gloucester for a number of years. And
well, we did two of them.
Yeah. A couple of them. They were big hits. Yeah. I mean, they were monster hits. I mean, it was a lot to pull that off.
Yeah.
But the people that were dancing and it was the spectacular at I4C2, it was such a cool spot.
That was great.
It's too bad that we is there going to be another Celebrate Gloucester or what's happening with that?
I don't know. Probably not this year.
No,
a lot of things would have to change for us to do it.
What?
Well, it's between the permitting to get even anything approved in this town now, it's crazy. The amount of meetings you have to go through, the amount of money you have to spend in order to get a permit to do the event. And then if you want to have alcohol.
Oh, forget about it.
Forget about it. I mean, I don't like dog pens. I don't like putting people in pens to drink. I just think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to have our dogs off leash, but yet we can't drink outside of a pen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, it's so insane. I mean... I came from the Midwest. We put cows and pigs and chickens in pens. We don't put humans. I mean, it's just...
So why,
I hate it.
Is alcohol necessary for this event to happen?
Can
you do BYOB or no?
No, you can't do that either. That's illegal.
Well, you know, the thing is... Okay, so Vicky's thing is the pen.
I'm looking at you like, what's going on? So
Vicky's thing is the pen, which she says rhymes with pin. Did you ever notice that? That's the Midwestern thing.
Pin.
Anyway, the... But the biggest problem is that there's now a whole new bureaucratic structure that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
You know, when we did the first Celebrate Gloucester, it was one meeting in John Bell's office, and everybody was at the table, right? Every single official.
Signed off on it.
Ask
the question you need.
That's right.
Yep. Be done.
And they were very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and we did what we needed to do. When we did the second Celebrate Gloucester, which was in 2010, it was more than one meeting, but not...
I think we had three.
Two or three at the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was it.
For follow-ups.
And that was just, I mean, and again, same kind of thing. You're in Carolyn's office, same office.
Mm.
Everybody's around the table. Everybody signs off. Now, oh my goodness, there's a new ordinance. There's
the people that do the Waterfront Festival, the Castle Murray thing. I spoke with that lady, and she said that there is... So she does, she's some ungodly number of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And she told me that there was no community out of all the ones that she does anywhere that she does even, that she runs into even 10% of, it's like 90% more like crazy hoops that she has to go through and meetings and fees and structures and this, that, and the other thing to get anything done.
Huh? I mean, they totally are nickel and diming you to death. I mean, there's this fee for this fee for that, this fee. So if Gloucester doesn't want to have events, then what are you going to do? I mean, that's why people come here.
Oh,
it gets harder and harder. People are just going to give up. I mean, it's not worth it. I mean, it wasn't cost effective for all the things that they wanted us to do in order to put up the pen for the people, to be able to secure it, to, you know, make sure that you had lighting, make sure you had this. Hmm. You couldn't make any money at it. And, if people that are doing events can't make any money at it, they can't do the next one.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, when we were all on the block party committee together, the first block party committee, Vicky, you, between you and Jackie, most of the city stuff got done.
Yeah,
Jackie
right.
Hardy.
And that was easy. We went to, you know, two meetings.
Right. And we were on the block party committee, the founding yeah. fathers and stuff like that. And then it's like after when the third year rolled around, like we were heroes in the city. And right. then all of a sudden you could see that there was such a success and stuff. All of a sudden things started, like we were getting things from certain departments were like taking shots at us, like,
yeah,
really? I mean, I was just like, I saw the handwriting on the wall. I'm like,
right.
we got this thing off the ground. All right, right, it's time for someone else to take over.
Exactly. You know, the wanting to have, you know, I understand the officer, but then, you know, to make sure that the fire truck can get through and everybody having their permits. And I mean, it was just, it got crazy. I mean,
well,
one of the things what kind of was disturbing to me was instead of just going for four, like there was four block parties and you had to go back every time to the liquor board meeting.
Right.
And these are
right.
restaurant owners that, you know, work in that time of year working a bazillion hours a week.
Right.
Instead of having one meeting to get all of the permits, they had them go for four different meetings. I don't know if they've changed that since.
I don't know.
But it made no sense to me. My thing was, like, you know, if the fire trucks couldn't get by, what I thought would have been a good solution for that was, and it was the restaurants, and there was a couple of people, there were some restaurants that always were perfectly within the lines that they were supposed
yep.
to be in, and then there was habitual violators that pushed out because they wanted to put more tables in. The solution to me was really simple, like just... the fire guy that's going to walk down the street anyway, have them, if they see a violation, issue a violation ticket and sanction them from participating in the following block party.
Exactly. Why should the whole event suffer for one or two places?
Yes.
But it goes back to the same thing with everything else. I mean, you know, the parking meter person can't give litter fines because that's not her job.
Oh.
You know, permits.
Right.
It's a, you know, there's no enforcing. They just want everybody to comply, and it's either all or nothing.
Oh, right. This all actually fits into two of those other themes.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The people want there to be tickets. Like your solution was to ticket people
yeah.
for littering, and that
yeah.
money go towards
right.
having people empty the barrels more frequently.
Exactly.
Right.
So, okay. So another solution is. There to be a permanent dog person, constable on the beaches writing out tickets for bagged dog owners,
right.
and that money going back to pay for them.
Right.
So, well, you were complaining about this earlier. Now you know. Now, so you kind of put yourself into a corner with this. Now.
No, but it's.
No, but wait. The difference is this: the city has to decide, or somebody has. You know, I don't. When mm-hmm. I say the city, I don't know who I'm talking about necessarily, mm-hmm. but.
All the departments.
All of us and the government together have to decide, do we want to try to promote having events in Gloucester, or do we want to make it hard to have events
mm-hmm.
in Gloucester? And if you want people like us who produce events to want to do them in Gloucester, you got to kind of make it easy. Now, that doesn't mean that you make it unsafe or
mm-hmm.
uncomfortable,
no.
right? Or it's just that...
You also have to understand,
yeah.
all right, I am with you on this 100%, and you know I'm with you. All right, the devil's advocate of this
yeah.
is there are people that would not have one single event here.
Oh,
and,
I'm sure.
And
yes.
would erect a gate at the bridge.
That's right.
And if you weren't born here, and you guys wouldn't even
be here. We wouldn't be here.
Like, if you weren't
right.
born here, there wouldn't
right.
be any events. And
that's right.
So that they could pull onto the parking lot at Good Harbor Beach and never have to worry about a parking spot and never
that's
have to worry
right.
about any traffic in the middle of the summer or anything like that.
Exactly.
So you have... So there is that faction out there,
oh,
and,
yeah.
and to act like they don't exist is
oh no,
is
oh,
not,
is
no, and I think it's the responsibility
huge.
Of the government, the people who sort of run the city, to decide how much power those people have versus
right.
how much power, you know, versus what else, you know, how are we going to open
I think
ourselves
we look
up
at
or
it,
close ourselves
right.
down?
Well, I think we look at it from a business perspective and like a tourism. Like, I think all these events immensely help. Our downtown, which I think
oh,
downtowns
yeah.
are vital to communities and
absolutely.
Large.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? We want these.
But you know, it's
merchants.
More than just business or
quality of life. Quality of life.
It's fun.
Yeah, and fun.
Fun.
Yes, that's yeah.
Fun. Right. Fun should not be illegal. Fun should be promoted.
But you can't shut down everything because of a few bad eggs.
Well, there you go. Right. They're going back to the dog thing. It all kind of ties
it in. It all does tie. I mean,
but we didn't say we don't want dogs on the beach off-leash. We just don't want them on the beach off-leash peeing on our towels.
Right.
And when we're trying
in the
swim.
Middle of the summer, right?
In the middle of the summer. Like, September's the middle of the summer. In fact, you know, astronomically, September is still summer.
Yeah.
Until the 21st, right? So
I'm with you. I love all the events. To me, it baffles me that they give the Grand Prix of Gloucester or the cyclocross people a hard time.
Oh,
that's another
goodness.
One. I mean,
yeah.
Like, what they put them through is shameful, in my opinion.
I agree. 100%.
You know, and
that's
you
a great
know,
event.
I was at Stage 4 last week with my daughters. We went hiking up on the Tablet Rock. We had a picnic on Tablet Rock, looking down on the whole field.
Is that legal?
The thing is...
Can you have food out there?
They haven't done away with that yet.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. they haven't done away with that yet. Carry in, carry out, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Now, but I'm not even sure about that. For the sake of a joke. You know, we're looking down on the fields. They look immaculate. So, and these people that wouldn't
They do a great job of putting it back.
I'm not sure, and I'm not no landscaper, certainly, but I think people have told me who know more about this than I do that they actually look better as a result of the cyclocross.
I maintain that I can remember that beach, like that, if there had been years that rocks, you know, the little round that had been formed by the sea, you know, the really smooth round rocks, had been pushed up over onto that park. Cressy's Beach onto the grass.
Yes. Well, that happened last winter.
And we're left there
all summer.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, when these people came, like that, when those people came, they had always, as my opinion, from my recollection, left the park better than it was before they came.
Yeah. That's what people have told me who seem to know.
That's my take on it. But I don't know if our view is skewed, and the people that don't want people to come here would tell you otherwise.
You know, I would want to know how many people is it that want to shut stuff down.
It's the same type of person the same type of person that didn't want the Shaolin Lu.
And
didn't want Market Basket.
Right.
It's the same type of.
Right.
I mean, these and look at these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the things that they. If you go by the track record of the anti people and what they have shut down here, and what actually did sneak through, you know, and got through, and how successful all the things that they like Cruiseport got through, thankfully.
Right. Yeah.
Market Basket got through, thankfully.
Right.
Shaolin Lu got through, thankfully, but you know, this all takes like. You know, these are the same type of people that always say, "Oh, we want the small people to survive." You know, and we want the small people investing. That's all these anti people have succeeded in doing is ensuring that the small people don't lift their head up to try to go for any of these type of permits. Because if they do, they're gonna get. Because we can't afford it.
Right.
So the only people that can develop are the people that they rail against the most.
Exactly.
The super wealthy. God bless that the super wealthy can get stuff done because otherwise nothing would get done.
Right.
So,
but yeah, it makes sense.
That's a very good point.
Unless you're a nonprofit and you're not going to pay any taxes, which they open, they bow down at your feet and open up and swing the door.
So, in a nutshell, you're saying that the anti-development, or development's the wrong word, but the anti-fun, I'll call it fun, the anti-fun people actually increase
the cost,
the income inequality.
Absolutely.
That's what they're doing.
That is absolutely.
They're increasing the income inequality.
They do, because they add costs onto every development. Like, where these developments could spend their money better in better landscaping, potentially, or giving back to the community.
That's right.
They poison these developers. By the time every one of these developers is done, they're like,
I'm not doing anything.
Don't come to me.
Yeah.
Well,
Vicky and I I mean, Vicky and I don't have Jim Davis money.
No.
If anybody wants to give it to us,
God bless
great,
him.
Yeah.
Right? God bless Jim Davis.
And that's why we can't really afford to do big outdoor events like Celebrate Gloucester in Gloucester anymore, because it's too expensive.
So
it's too hard.
There's
27
any
1%
out there that wants to back Celebrate Gloucester.
Oh, yeah. Just put a comment
on
this
podcast
and give us a call.
You know, I-4C2 would be another great spot to have a concert. I mean,
nobody parks there anymore. We drove by today, not one car. Not one car at I-4C2.
Just a lot of lobster.
A lot of lobster pots, yeah.
Is that true?
You put your pots there? No, that's not.
No.
But there's also
my thing was when they allowed the first lobstermen to put the traps there, that they just signed their deathbed forever.
Well, now it's about 1/6 to 1/4 full of lobster traps on the actual.
But there's also some
trailer
there. Looks like a painter or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's just crazy.
What's crazy to me is I wish I don't hold a popular view. Well, some people like the view. I honestly believe it should be like what you guys said. I thought that it's a parking lot actually made them, because we don't have. There is parking downtown.
People there's no said parking there's, problem downtown. You told me this. You mentioned this to
it's
me
true.
That you can park closer to downtown than you park to the mall.
Even if you don't park on Main Street, you can still park. I've never, ever, ever not been able to park on streets from Rogers or Middle.
Yeah.
Pleasant.
Yeah.
To go to a store on Main Street, then they would take you to walk from your car at the mall to get into the mall.
You know, when we did the very first Celebrate Gloucester, Joe Aiello represented the police at this one meeting we had, and I said, should we have parking at the time Fuller School maybe and bus people? And he goes, why would you do that? He said, at Fiesta, 25,000 people come to Gloucester. There's no parking problem, really. And one of the big places people park is being used for something else. So there's less parking than normal, 25,000 more people, and there's no parking problem.
And we always find a parking spot.
We always find. We go to Fiesta
block
every year.
I always find a parking spot. And Main Street's closed down.
Right. I've never had a problem parking going to Fiesta.
Yeah.
Ever.
No. Or the block parties. Never.
Right.
Never.
I mean.
Yeah, so to say that,
Yeah, so there really isn't a parking
there
problem.
There are. Okay, devil's advocate on this one would be there are people that will drive in circles 25 times can't park.
But that's
on
because they want to park in front of the store they're going to.
Yeah. No, yeah. I get it.
And I can see
ignorance.
If you're in a wheelchair or if you can't walk very far, I can see that as a need, and we have to make allowances for that. But if you're able to walk, you probably should walk. I should walk. I should be parking. Right, I should be
parking. You should be parking at home.
I should be parking at home. That's what I should do. I should walk to town.
Do you have you guys downloaded the Stitcher app? Have you listened to it?
No, we haven't.
You got to do it. What, you guys Android people or Apple people?
Android.
Yeah, Android, right? Yeah. No, I am too. But the Stitcher works
seamlessly. I mean, I know I'm looking at this Apple thing, which I get, and I understand the use of your iPad and stuff.
No, but he's an Android guy.
I know, but he's an
Android guy with an iPad.
Right.
Listen,
that's like
a difference. Listen, I am a PC guy.
Yeah.
With an Apple tablet.
Yeah.
And an Android phone.
That's what we
that's
are.
Cross-platform.
Cross-platform.
Yeah, so we can I can appreciate the nuances of each different thing.
We should have it, because if we're in the car and we can't get the blog, but you can get the blog pretty much anywhere. So why do you need the Stitcher app if you can always get to the internet anyway?
It makes it, it's all the previous, if you haven't, see, a lot of people don't understand that the blog, a lot of people subscribe to the blog, and they get an email at the end of the night.
Right.
That program happens to be broken right now. The email people aren't getting emails, they're freaking out. I'm getting 20 emails a day saying.
I was wondering about that.
People are saying, I haven't been able to see the blog for 2 weeks because I haven't gotten Good Morning Gloucester. I'm like, and they truly, and I'm not making fun of these people once again.
Right.
They don't understand that the blog exists, and if they Googled Good Morning Gloucester, they could go directly to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had this.
LMGTFY.
Let me Google this for you. Yeah. But I'm not making fun of these people right now because it is such an endemic. And I've had this conversation with you as a web designer.
Yeah.
Like you brought it up to me, the grandmother test.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like your grandmother has to be able to figure this out.
Right.
There are all these people that do not understand that even though they have old emails in their. In there from the feed that any one of those posts, the title are a hyperlink back to the blog, the logo that's in those emails, you click on that, it brings you to the homepage of the blog.
Right.
They could Google it. They could type it into their search box. Mm-hmm. Yep. They haven't figured it out. Yep. So these people totally exist, right? They haven't died off.
They can use Stitcher.
So they can use Stitcher.
I get it.
But like, I actually use Stitcher because there's other podcasts. There's the Joe Rogan podcast that I listen to. Oh. But it also, like, so say on the first page, like the podcast, say this podcast that we taped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Say you didn't get to it for 3 days.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The Stitcher app has that episode and it has all the other ones listed below.
Yeah, but I click on that link that's on the top page. It says past podcasts.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah,
I
that's what we
that.
Do.
I know. I make it easy. Well, you know, because I'm like, right. I'm over. I'm right. Making it easy. It's like sugar for you guys. But yeah, right. but yeah.
Belt and suspenders.
Oh, we had this conversation yesterday because I was doing a Facebook post, and I always say, click here for tickets.
Well, I had that. I had
Peter's
that conversation.
Peter's like going, but they're already online. I'm like, no, they're on Facebook. They don't realize that they're.
They don't
online.
Realize they're online. That's what she said. And she's right.
No, it's absolutely true.
I was totally wrong about it.
You have to.
It's the only thing I've ever been wrong about in our marriage.
Do you know how many people don't understand that if you just write a hyperlink and it's like highlighted in blue, underlined, they don't know that that's an actionable. Right. They do not know that that's an actionable.
Well, you know, it wasn't long ago when Microsoft.
You have to write click here to.
Yeah, right.
Click here to go to click this page.
Right.
Click here to buy this product.
Yes.
Click here to.
That's right.
But he's like, when you're in Facebook, you're already. I'm like, no, they don't.
But
know.
You can't. You know, that's
they
the
don't
biggest
know. I mean,
problem. That's the biggest mistake that any UI user interface developer makes is to assume that the person using it
is as savvy as you are.
Looks at it the way you do.
Yeah.
I give you a great example on our the page where you buy tickets for the Larkin Theater balcony. You can buy tickets for the sides of the balcony, and these seats, unlike Shilin Lu, which face the audience, the seats actually face the stage. Mm. But people who've been to Shilin Lu, they look at that balcony and they think that they want to buy row A1, row B1, row C1. They think those seats are together when they're really behind each other.
Oh.
Because that's how they would be at Shilin Lu.
Even though in the middle there it says all seats face the stage.
Oh, right? Wow.
It's like.
And people who've never been to Shilin Lu but have been to the Larkin Theater, they don't understand why people don't get it.
Right.
Because that's the way they see it facing the stage naturally anyway. Shilin Lu people see it facing the audience naturally anyway.
Wow.
And so it's your assumption. Yep. Believing is seeing, not the other way around, right?
It's true.
I'm one of those people.
Which one, Shilin Lu?
I struggle. I struggle. Like,
so you call and we'll buy your tickets.
I'm like, hyperlink means nothing to me.
Yeah. So if you want tickets, call me.
Hyperlink's a link.
Whatever. Lord, I can't stand computers.
So you know what? When you go to see...
That's why I'm sitting here. I'm waiting for him to show me something for the 100th time.
I've explained to her how to embed a YouTube video. How it has to be just the URL.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
There is a bug.
There's a
bug in WordPress.
Yeah, because if you...
I'll tell you the bug.
Don't hit enter and make sure you have no formatting, that it's not in a paragraph.
That's why you go to the text.
That's right.
You have to go to the text.
I showed her this two days ago.
I've said this to her 50 times. Go to the text and make sure there's no carrots around
it.
That's
the problem. I don't know which carrots I'm supposed to remove because... It's not the same every time you upload something.
Yeah.
Every single one is different. So it's not like you say, all right, take out from here to here every single time. Every single time it's different. And that's
confusing
when
you go up to the random numbers and letters.
What is considered a random freaking number? That's what I want to know. I'm going to kill myself over this. God, that's why I need an intern. I don't have time for this stuff. I need to be cooking.
It's
I don't need to be doing
get her an intern, Joey. Come on.
Yesterday, did you see my post?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I kept calling him. I'm like, please fix it. I tried 7 different times. I went to the text. I went to the visual.
This would be a sexy internship, don't you think?
God.
Work on the blog?
Lord, I feed you well. I can't pay anything, but I can feed you. But I do post.
Get her an
intern,
Joey.
All the time on my post.
I'll get her an intern.
I'll
get her something.
Yeah.
Maybe a fucking muzzle, I'll get her.
Listen, take that job away from me. I just want to cook. Dang. I'll type the recipe. Somebody else do it.
Oh, man.
I can get 10 more up the amount of time it takes me to load those damn things. Anyway.
Oh, man. All right. This is another.
No, no.
We're approaching an hour here. This is Joey Shimachara with my good friends Peter and Vicky Van Ness. Good morning, Gloucester contributors. promoting the Larcombe Theater, concert series over there, a bunch of the UU Church Meeting House. They do website design. If you need a website design, call them. Anything else I'm missing, guys? Many hats.
Many hats.
Yeah. And Sister Felicia chirping in the background. This is Joey Shimataro. Have a great day, everybody. Another Gloucester cast in the books, y'all. Boom!